Good morning. You are tuned into the False Graves podcast. I'm your host, AK Baby Do the Lightbringer.
And I am the Furman.
Secondhand meats
and how they can help you in your day-to-day life.
Got a very good episode set out for you guys, but before we get started, I've got to make an official announcement, and I'm very excited to make it. But you know, a lot of our viewers probably don't know because we've kept this on the back burner, but we've actually gotten our first official partnership. And the funny thing about it is I've been partnered with as an individual, and so is the Furman.
Two sponsors,
two different groups. And, you know, I want to make it be known here. I've officially partnered with the IBTC, and the Furman officially sponsored with the MMA. And not the MMA you're thinking of, so you could go ahead and clear it up.
We here, as Furman, we decided a long time ago that we stood behind something that meant something. And that something... it's Big Mommy Milkers. Now, we at the Mommy Milkers Association, a subsidiary of Goth IHOP or Trap Waffle House, we have decided that the bigger the breasts can beat all the rest.
Damn, bro. I can't follow it up, admittedly, but the IBTC, the Itty Bitty Titty Committee.
A small committee at that.
You know, we're just a group of elitists.
Elite on small areas of life.
We don't feel the need to be, you know, big and obnoxious to excel in the world.
You know, if you and I weren't best friends, I couldn't do this podcast with you because our dichotomy at this point, we're almost at a warring faction. Us of the Big Titty Committee, the Big Mommy Milkers, we will go to war with you guys.
The Mommy Milkers Association.
Yes, we might only have 3 points of IQ. But you know what? We have good taste.
I will give you this. The MMA Mommy Milkers Association is like the old money.
Mm.
And the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, we're new money.
You guys are the Silicon Ranch.
Yeah.
Of the titty committees. But you know what? Good, hard-working Americans. Red-blooded, patriotic people. We 100%. Believe in Big Mommy Milkers.
So, secondhand meats, you came up with the name this week. What inspired it?
Okay, so I was thinking, technically speaking, any sort of distributor, let's say McDonald's or your Chick-fil-A's or KFC's, technically speaking, they are handed a product that is fresh. It is 1 degree. You have meats, and now it has come to a second person.
Yep.
And they handle that meat.
They do.
Oh, dude. And then they sell it back to you. It is the goodwill of meats to be secondhand meats.
So, but you got to think, the people who originally got the meats, it's almost fourth hand meats.
Mm. It's the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Well, you got the farmer, right, who's handling the meat from the start, or the factory farm.
Mm.
He's petting the cow, he's feeding the cow. Mm-hmm. That's the first hand. And then you got the processor.
Mm.
He's the second hand meat toucher.
Oh yeah, he's all up in them guts.
And then you've got the shipper. I don't know that they actually physically touch the meat. The shipper probably doesn't.
Well, I mean, technically speaking, if you're a good shipper, you'll at least, and you know, slide it in just to see if it's a quality product.
And then you got the receiver, which is, like you said, McDonald's or, you know, a fast food restaurant. And that's the third or fourth hand.
Yeah, which explains chicken nuggets on a whole different level.
So by the time you get your meat, you're probably the fourth person to handle the meat.
Man, that's a tough sandwich to swallow right there. See, I only thought it was like 2 degrees, but this man, he's expanded my mind brain.
The fourth degree meat. You know, men are out here looking for something pure, you know, something.
They want that pure meat.
That pure meat, that, that unsullied.
That uncut meat, as it were.
But in a modern America, we have to settle for fourth hand meat.
Just, it's the degrees of bacon. That's what it is.
Kevin Bacon.
Well, I mean, if he's on a sandwich, I'm willing to try it at least once.
What is the degrees of bacon?
Oh, okay. So
I don't know, actually.
Okay, so you never played the game 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
No.
Okay, so what you do is you pick a movie with a random actor, and then you have to find how it ties back into Kevin Bacon, because he's been in everything, like a little bit of everything. Now, it's just not Kevin Bacon. You can do this with anybody. Let's pick a well-known movie star.
I'll tell you one that's been in more than anything. Nicolas Cage.
Okay, that's a good one.
That dude churns out 4 movies a year.
Okay, I can connect Will Ferrell to Nicolas Cage.
I mean, they probably have a movie together.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But we got to do it within a certain amount of degrees, okay, a.k.a. Okay. The Seven.
The Seven, yes.
Will Ferrell was in Santa Claus with Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds was in The Bodyguard with the Hitman's Bodyguard with Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman was in, God, what is it called? The Matrix. No, wait. Yeah, no, that's Lawrence Fishburne. All right, sorry, timeout on that one. But he was in, God.
For the viewers at home, you're about to witness a man under immense pressure.
Oh, my brain mind.
If you're a sadist, it's time to tune in.
Hedonists, look away. This isn't going to be good for you. Oh, your king is dying. Morgan Freeman was in Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey.
Yep.
Jim Carrey was in The Grinch. No, was in... God, not... I'm dying here because I'm on the fourth degree right now. I'm feeling the pressure. I'm feeling the pressure right now.
So, I'm enjoying this thoroughly as a experienced sadist.
Jesus, you're killing me here. 1 second. I need brain juice.
See, a lot of people may go, oh, this is going to be awkward for our show, but I'm very comfortable. I'm at home right now. You've brought me home.
I mean... This is the same thing as watching a guy get hung in a public square for this man. So, Jim Carrey was in Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass had Michael Cera in it. Michael Cera was in This Is the End. This Is the End also had... had a lot of people. We're tying it back to Nicolas Cage. Which had... Who was that scrawny little fuck? I can't remember his name. Damn it.
You're done for.
Yeah, I'm done. Oh, God.
You're
I
done.
Cooked. I got cooked too early because I could have tied back to Kick-Ass on Nicolas Cage.
We cooked him. We cooked him, chat.
Roasted.
Roasted like your fourth hand meats.
Oh, God. Just toasted. Always fresh, never frozen.
Speaking of meats, Arby, they claim to have the meats.
Oh, they got beef. With everybody.
Do they have first-hand meats, do you think?
No, Wendy's got first-hand meats.
Wendy's?
Yeah, because it's fresh, never frozen. Which
that's true.
I mean, I call bullshit on it, but... They can't say it's frozen, but it's really, 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 really cold.
Instead of 32 degrees, it's 33 degrees meat.
It's like those things, it's like, oh, this isn't a chocolate, but it is a chocolatey substitute.
A chocolatier. Our chocolate is handcrafted from the French diplomats of Lent.
Oh, God.
They come from a long line of chocolatiers dating back to Louis the 13th.
I mean, it's better than Louis the 12th. I'll give him that. But it's the new Coke of chocolate.
He started up his chocolate empire as a hobby after he'd regularly visit his brothel. And right after, you know, exiting his brothel, he would take up chocolatiering.
See, that's what I thought, is like he exited the brothel with like a little brown smudge and people were like, that's chocolate, right? And he was like, yeah, I do chocolate now,
dude.
Yeah.
not to gross people out at home, but I'm going to go into this topic.
Oh, God.
Dude, sex back in the day had to be so smelly.
Oh, God. Dude, before the advent of the toothbrush and soap, could you imagine going down on a bush?
The sanitation back in the day, it was at such low levels.
Look, I bathed just last month. I am very clean.
I think you get used to it. Like, when something smells bad for long enough, you just cease to notice it. Like, if you ever run into people who are truly unsanitary, they don't smell themselves.
Yeah, which is weird because, like, if I forget to brush my teeth, I'll gas myself. Look, I eat ass, but I'm not nasty, okay? Come on now.
I'm with you. I mean, I can follow that.
I mean, come on now, guys. Like, if you're out there and you're doing something extra, brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth twice a day.
A sponsorship of the MMA Society. Colgate. They'll help you get mommy milkers.
Dude, if there's one group of people that deserves to be made uncomfortable more than the rest, it's the professionals. Dentists and doctors and whatnot. They're so high-handed. Imagine you're at your dentist and he's like, you know, brush twice a day. And you ask him, well, you know, I eat ass, you know, every other day. Should I be introducing some more brushing?
I mean, I would assume 9 out of 10 dentists would say yes, but there's that one guy on the end with, like, rotten teeth. Hell no. Fuck.
I'm just going, like, you know how uncomfortable that would make a dentist? Like, these people never end up in uncomfortable situations.
Oh, yeah, which is funny, considering, like, whenever you're getting, like, your teeth drilled or anything, they're always, like, they want to start up a conversation. Like, hey, did you do your taxes this year? Can you give me an itemized deduction?
Dude,
on what
speaking
you did?
Of, I swear half the dentists out there are sadists.
Oh, they have to be.
They love the pain.
That torturer gene, that had to have been what was incorporated. That's got to be like the first step of like dentistry school. How much pain can you inflict in 1 minute?
They're descendants from like the past, like executioners and torturers. Of history, they just turned out to be dentists. Like,
could you imagine them looking down on them? Just, I can't believe. Oh shit, that guy's tooth fell out. Oh god, maybe he'll stop. Nope. He's got a machine to suck the blood out.
My great 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 granddaddy was the chief torturer in Rome, and now I pull teeth for a living.
You know, the natural progression of things.
Yeah, the civilized version of violence.
Yeah, it's kind of a recycled thing. You know, nothing's really new.
But I will say, you know, turning sadism into a benefit for society, that's actually a really cool thing. Like, yeah. You like to hurt people, but you find a way to make it good for them.
Yeah, we turn those people into police officers, typically. But if you can do dentistry, that's a little bit better.
Speaking of hurting people for a living, what do you think about dominatrix?
I think,
is that the dominatrices?
Try?
Dominatrix? Try?
What do you call a gaggle of dominatrixes, chat?
I feel like that's a word science hasn't come up with an actual term for yet.
Oh, I'm pretty sure the people on the hub have got something. But could you imagine being in a room with 10 dominatrixes just getting yelled at like military style? Get on your knees! Get off your feet! Go!
So what do you think about them? Have you ever been interested?
I have, but there's a certain thing about, you know, getting a candle shoved up my ass, and I'm just I'm just not there yet. You know, I had it done once, but it was unprofessional. Mm-hmm. You know, it was for a goof and a gaff, but, you know.
So you prefer a woman not dominate you?
Well, I mean, that'd be gay.
That would be pretty gay. No. It would be pretty gay.
No, like, I just... Like, there's something about their ability to crush my balls, and I have to be okay with it. It's that level. Like, I'm a hedonist, but I'm not a fucking, I'm not crazy. I mean, have I done the old peanut butter trick? Yes. But what man hasn't?
I do not understand CBT in the slightest.
Oh, God. Do not look that up. Do not look it up.
I do not understand CBT. As a man, like. And that's one thing about being a dude that's kind of off-putting. We've got the more fragile genitalia of the two sexes. The whole thing about the masculine body is utilitarian, strong, burly. But our junk is fragile as they come. Like,
yeah, you can be Mike Tyson and you can take 100 punches in the fucking face, no problem. Second that you graze the nuts, you're done. You're cooked. That match, like, is over.
Could we not come up with a, like, how has evolution not made nuts stronger? Like, we've got millions of years of evolution and nuts are as weak as shit, man.
Well, I mean, they had to give us a handicap somewhere. I mean, we already took the patriarchy, we took the money, we took the religion, we took the politics. God was like, all right, handicap.
Imagine how strong men would be if their nuts weren't sensitive.
Man, MMA fights would be so much more interesting. I'm actually surprised that isn't an MMA sport. Like, you know, that face slapping thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now they have to have a ball tapping thing.
Dude, I'm glad you brought that up. The face slapping sport, dude, it is so much more lethal, I swear, than actual fighting.
Oh, it has to be.
Because with fighting, okay, when you're a fighter, everything that comes against you is braced to some degree. You are braced for everything in a fight. Like, you're bobbing, you're weaving. You even when he's got you pinned and he's just punching your head in, you're like, you're still doing this.
Yeah, you're trying to at least wiggle out of it.
You know? But those slapping contests, you just get your hands behind your back, chin out, and you're supposed to take a hit. And some of those hits...
Oh, do they come up and it's just like, they look like that chunk from, like, the Goonies?
They look like a secondhand meat when they get hit with that slap.
Their face was never frozen. I mean... I love the dedication to the craft, because, like, if I slap someone and they didn't even move, I'm not gonna lie. There's a part of my body that'd be like, okay, here you go. Here's the belt. Here's my wedding ring, my wallet, my social security card.
You gotta be deranged to sign up for the slapping contest. Like, a lot of people talk about how good of a owner/promoter Dana White is. Mm. He's got a lot of fans.
Isn't that the guy that did Mike Tyson stuff?
I'm not sure, but he's the guy who owns the MMA or the UFC.
Yeah.
And a lot of people call him one of the better businessmen, like, of the modern time, and they talk about how good a guy he is. But I'm like, okay, if you organize the lethal fighting, okay, that's one thing. But if you're like, you know what's a really good idea? Setting people up to just take a hit with no defense. Like, no.
I'm just waiting for them to come out with, like, the baseball bat edition of it. Like, if you can take...
How good can you really be to people if you're going to create a sport that involves them just getting mercilessly hit in the face?
Because, like, we as humans, well, like, we love blood sport. Like, that's always been a thing. Like, mm-hmm. From the Coliseum days up.
That's true.
It's always something. People don't give a crap about the NFL until we get an Aaron Hernandez. Until we get some guy going absolutely fucking bananas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's like, oh, shit. This is something worth watching.
Wait a minute. He's going to skin that man alive. Holy crap. Which, actually, if you think about it, football, the percentile that they turn out into, like, scumbags is shocking to me, honestly. I figure if you were out on the field, you'd get that aggression out, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you get your O.J. Simpsons.
Yep.
Again, Aaron Hernandez's.
He had enough aggression for on the field and off the field.
His T levels were astronomical. Like, that just... If you can't tackle a 600-pound man and then just be, like, cool for the rest of the day...
For someone so aggressive, he does a mean, casual interview.
Oh, my God, dude.
He's like, you know... Yeah, I mean... My ex-wife, you know, she got brutally murdered.
And here's my book on if I had did it.
He's a very, very soft-spoken man, but the hands, not so soft.
Actually, let's roundabout back to this. Remember the slap fighting we were talking about 2 seconds
ago?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I just had a magical idea.
Mm-hmm.
We make a pimp edition.
The backhand.
Bingo. Boom.
Oh, dude, that would sell.
Oh, the hose would apply in droves.
No more. No more front hand slapping, just the pimp slapping competition.
And they're allowed to bring as many rings as they want.
Is that why pimps wear so many rings?
I mean, I'd assume so. Like, add a little bludgeoning damage to it, you know? Like, I don't know if you're big into the video games, but if you add a little stat booster.
Yeah, 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 that's the boost. That's the boost.
Could you imagine just like seeing in there, like, boom, boom?
Dude, speaking of sports and football and secondhand meats, there's a guy named Shannon Sharp, and he's an ex-football player, and he's now a well-respected commentator.
Oh, well.
And I don't keep up with sports, but I somehow know Shannon Sharp.
So you Joe Rogan'd it?
Yeah, he's one of the bigger announcers.
Okay.
And he's in an immaculate shape. He's almost, I think he's in his 60s, and he's still like cut, jacked.
Absolute unit.
He's a real physical specimen. But this week, he accidentally went live on Instagram. You know this story?
Oh, hedonist stuff.
We got a couple hedonists this week.
Oh, we got a lot of contenders for the top belts.
But this man went live on Instagram accidentally, absolutely laying pipe.
I don't know for the ones at home that are just listening to this in the background, but there are a lot of air quotes going on right now.
And he's not in the... No, there's no actual like visual on what's going on, but you can hear the sounds.
I mean...
of this man putting in some work at an elderly age.
I mean, giddy. That blue chew was pulling double overtime.
And... it's, I don't know, I found that story really hilarious. ESPN fired this man.
For clapping cheeks?
For clapping cheeks.
But it was ethically clapped cheeks.
Yeah.
He was hacked.
He was hacked.
I mean...
Well, that turned out to be not true.
What?
He accidentally went live, and he said he never went live before. He don't even know how to. It just happened, like, it happened on his phone.
Oh, it's kind of like when you record yourself, when you put your phone in your pocket, and then you accidentally set it up in an area...
Yeah. So he went live clapping cheeks, and ESPN fired him.
I can only imagine the sounds in the video. Oh, Sharon Sharp. Oh, yeah.
He was doing a lot of heavy grunting and breathing.
I wonder if he was giving commentary halfway through. Yes, this is a fine specimen of a woman. She is really giving me that kung fu grip, guys. I have no idea if I'm going to be able to hold out.
Oh, my man, imagine. He said he started getting some calls, and he's like, what? Like, what's going on? Like, what do you mean? Like, I went live.
What? Monica Lewinsky was just a secretary, Hillary. I don't know what you mean. I swear she's just a friend.
Dude, Bill Clinton, he spun that as, I didn't know getting head was considered a sexual act. I didn't know getting some head was cheating on my wife. I didn't know.
Okay, well, fair enough. But putting cigars in places where cigars shouldn't be, lit ones at that. That is hedonist of the week.
So many hedonists among us. The West. We're a nation of hedonism.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we consume more than we produce.
Oh, my God. We're some consumers.
Oh, yeah. If it's sensational, it's getting on that TV. Nobody cares about a Nobel Peace Prize winner that actually made clean energy and free internet for everybody.
Screw that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that actually found the source code in between the internet and made it 100 times faster.
Screw him.
Do you know his name?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I mean, I even read the article and I didn't give a shit because, like, there was...
You find out how to run a car with hydrogen, nobody gives a shit. You find out how to run a car with clapping cheeks.
Oh, dude, everybody's there. Oh, everybody. There would be the Trojan market would just trip.
Imagine you can make a vehicle that ran off clapping cheeks.
Oh, man, the kinetic energy of it just. Man, why is this car going so slow? Oh, they're doing the finger in the butt method. Got it. Got it. Sorry, guys. I thought you were drunk.
You're tailgating the guy. He's like, why are you slowing down? Like,
oh, he's grabbing a Gatorade and a cigarette while she's scrolling through Instagram. Got it. Got it. Sorry. We've all been there. We've all been there. Even worse, like, they pull over. It's like, hey, what's the matter? I finished a little too soon before we got there.
This episode's turning into such a sexual episode. But speaking of more sex content.
Oh, shit.
Okay. There are guys out there that are comfortable with a girl being on a phone while they're having sex.
That is just tragic.
And I'm like, get the fuck out. There is no way in hell.
That means that you're doing such a piss poor job. That is some simp shit right there.
Dude, ain't no way. Ain't no way.
Mm.
That girl is, pulls out a phone during sex, you are excommunicado for life.
Either it better be for recording, for future prosperity. Like, it's so good. I want to remember this day. Takes a picture right next to it. Ting.
Excommunicado.
Like, I'm sorry. Your man card has been revoked. Your V card has been reinstated. Try again.
Yeah. I'm about to go John Wick on that ass. You pull out a phone.
Oh, dude. There.
It's going to be worse than if you killed my dog.
He needs a gun. A lot of guns.
I'm sorry. Fuck it. I've never had that situation.
Me so either. Just, thank God.
I mean.
But I know. I've heard about it. Like, I've heard. And I know some girls who have done it.
Oh, man. You know, I just started liking things on Facebook while he was in the middle of clapping the cheeks. It was more like a mouse applause. It was instead of like. It was like,
I swear, man, ain't no way.
Couldn't be me. Couldn't be me.
Simpology 101.
Oh, God.
Probably won't be long before a book comes out on simping.
The way to get to a woman's heart is to imply explicitly how good of a guy you are. And then you have to let her get a train ran on her at least eight or nine times. Eight or nine times. Small amount by everybody in your local area.
Yeah.
And then.
Secondhand meats.
Oh, God. Second, third, fourth, fifth, ninths. Like.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely tragic. Couldn't fucking be me, mate. Couldn't fucking be me.
Speaking of getting your cheeks clapped.
Oh, are we finally going to talk about the T-Monies?
We are about to talk about the P-Monies. Oh. There is a man among us who has evaded arrest for 20 to 30 years with a very provocative career. That man is known as P. Diddy.
Puff Daddy?
Puff Daddy. The Dids. The Diddler. Mr. Diddles. He goes by many titles.
Hey Diddle Diddle and the Cat and the Fiddle.
But he has finally been caught, Mr. Diddles. And he is currently in prison without any opportunity for bail. The judge has declined his bail.
Yeah, because he wants to Epstein himself. Like,
well, he may not want to, but he may shortly find himself meeting Epstein.
I'm just saying, like, with that many b-holes getting violated at his parties.
And so he's long been shrouded in mystery, P. Diddy. The one thing that always surprised me about P. Diddy, before we get into what's happening with him currently, is he was a very wealthy celebrity, which always surprised me because he started his career as a rapper, but he was a very bad rapper. Like, nobody talks about P. Diddy's music. I couldn't tell you a single P. Diddy song.
No, he's got a...
I don't know any of his songs.
Okay, I'm a take a pause on this. I'm gonna have to scroll through a couple of YouTube clips because I don't know what the fuck he ever sung about.
That's true, exactly. I mean, he does have an album called No Way Out.
It was based on real life experiences.
But early on, his original notoriety is a lot of people suspect him of killing Tupac. Or at least orchestrating the things that went into his death.
Oh, and, get fucked.
Well, you know, Diddy's a mogul. More than a rapper, he was a mogul. And so he had a lot of power in the rap game.
Like, I would expect, like, Eminem to go ahead and set that up before him.
But, you know, as people in Hollywood say, ain't no party like a P. Diddy party.
Yeah, because nobody's getting recorded getting their butthole violated at Adam Sandler's party.
P. Diddy parties actually, and this isn't a joke, they come with a contract. If you're going to be at a P. Diddy party, you have to, like, relinquish your phone and a lot of, like...
dignity.
You gotta sign an NDA and relinquish your phone to even be at a P. Diddy party.
It's a no dignity allowed contract.
But this man, a couple months back, got raided. His home got raided by the FBI, I want to say.
Absolutely tossed.
Completely raided. And a lot of things were, you know, up in the air on the internet. Did he flee? Where is he? Why is he not arrested? You know, and there it was inconclusive. Like, it was an inconclusive raid. And here recently, a couple days ago, he actually lost a settlement against a man claiming sexual assault from P. Diddy to the tune of $100 million.
It had to be some Deliverance shit. I'm sorry, but like
P. Diddy literally got ordered by a judge to pay $100 million for sexual assault. And that, and keep in mind, this did not put him in prison. This was not illegal. I mean, it wasn't, it was a civil suit. A civil suit is where basically crime punishments are off the table. You know, O.J. Simpson ended up facing a civil suit as well and lost that for the murder of his wife.
Didn't Harvey Weinstein get like the same thing?
Well, he's in prison, so I can't say it. Well, I think he's getting out, but Harvey, he got an actual charge. But P. Diddy got ordered to pay $100 million to this man for a sexual assault. And you got to think, a lot of people would take that deal just outright.
Like, I can't tell you how many locker room talk discussions, like, how much would it take for a man to be able to run, like, run a train on you?
Yeah.
It's like, what, like, 10 million? No, I couldn't do it, man. That's undignified. 100 million? We have a saying in the military, and that is 20 bucks. I ain't gay, but 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
Did guys sleep with each other in the military?
A staggering amount if you're in the Navy.
Really?
Well, I mean, if you're
the Navy's the one that's attributed as the most gay.
In the Navy, you can do what you want.
There's something about being on a boat
full of semen
that just that warrants the most degenerate behavior. There is something about being on a boat. It's like
Nevada. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. If you touch a penis on a boat, it stays on the boat.
It's almost like in our DNA.
Yeah, I mean,
like you get off land and it's just an orgy.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on a deserted island, I mean, we don't talk what happened on the deserted island. Like, that's why those Mr. Beast videos were so popular.
Even those men not in the Navy but who like work on barges. You know, they'll do a month on the barge and then they'll come home for a week.
And then
I feel like there's something else going on the barge with the guys.
Could you imagine? They're not even drilling or anything, but they're drilling.
You come home from a month on the barge to see your wife and she's like,
oh, honey,
why aren't you getting turned on?
I mean, I got enough bussy out there. I mean, I was laying pipe. I mean, I was digging for oil. I mean, I'm just tired.
I'm just tired. You know, a long month on the barge. Now, it wore me out.
Can you go get me some frozen peas or a donut to sit on?
But yeah, man, speaking of P. Diddy, after the $100 million lawsuit ruled in the other guy's favor, 5 days later, he gets arrested. Imagine you have to pay $100 million, and then 5 days later, for a separate charge, you're arrested.
Yeah, fucking, that's not even my wallet, and that shit hurts me. Like,
but no, he got arrested for sex trafficking. P. Diddy.
Okay, you know what's weird, though?
Yeah.
Okay, Stormy Daniels, right? You remember her, right? With the whole Trump, like, character assassination
shit?
I do. So, weirdly enough, she only got $65 million, and then she got sued by Trump for like $85 million. She had to pay $25 million to fuck the president. This guy only has to get his butthole touched once.
Well, you know, he did coin art of the dill after all. He was playing the long game all along.
He was waiting for her. He was like, go ahead, say whatever you want. I'm gonna make a fucking mint out of this. No cap.
Some guys pay for pussy. Some guys get it for free.
Some people get paid.
And some get paid.
And I'm not going to lie. For $100 million, I'd let the most degenerate shit happen. Like,
I'll be honest. There is no amount of money I would take to let a man penetrate me. No amount of money I would take.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I've done it for an Arby's sandwich. They have the beef.
No amount of money. My dignity, it's too high.
Look, I'm just saying, like, you've got me pegged all wrong. I was real hungry at the time. And for $100 million, oh, God.
So I'm going to wrap up. I want to wrap up the P. Diddy argument, and then I want to get into a topic based off that degeneracy.
Oh, let's hit it.
But, okay, P. Diddy, to wrap it up, okay, this man's now on trial, are going to be on trial. Nothing. For sex trafficking. And
not until he hangs himself accidentally, guys.
I thought it was going to be one of those nuanced reports by some weird journalist that just likes to make things up. But in the official court documents, it is cited that upon raiding this man's residence, they found over 1,000 bottles of baby oil.
Johnson & Johnson.
a family company.
No tears with this oil.
1,000 bottles of baby oil. And they cite that he used baby oil in an event that is known as freak-offs. Freak-offs were Diddy would congregate a bunch of men to have sex with one another, and he would be in the corner masturbating. So P. Diddy, you know, he got his rocks off by watching men have sex with each other.
That is some Caligula level shit right there. If he didn't have that oil, the amount of chafing, like, just to organize that, and then on top of that, to have every one of them keep quiet.
Dude, he had to have some next level intimidation tactics. Next level. Dude, and they actually cite all the ways that he used. He used coercion. He used blackmail. He used bribery.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there was a lot of blackmails there.
He used everything under the sun to keep these people quiet about these orgies.
Hey, our chat's blowing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I got bad eyes, so like... I'm blinded by the Johnson & Johnson baby oil. I tried to use some before we got on the show.
Just to clarify for the chat, I did say I would never let a man penetrate me for any amount of money. My dignity is too high.
$100 billion.
No, even then, I wouldn't do it.
Okay, so Bill Gates drags his nuts across your face for $1 billion.
I have something called optimism.
Will that protect you from a man's nuts?
It will. It is the power of positive thinking that protects me from being penetrated. And here's the reason. The reason is this. Okay, $100 billion for Bill Gates to have to make love to me, right? Let's say that's the deal. I believe there's a decent chance I could make $100 billion without having to do that. I'm young enough to still believe there's a chance I'll make $100 billion. And therefore, I can safeguard myself against Bill Gates and his debauchery.
Oh, I'm taking that bet. I'll take that bet right now. Like, I will go ahead and I'll put myself on the line. Bill Gates, if you're there, $100 billion. Just a scant little smiggle of money. I'm all yours.
Well, he did recently get divorced from his long... term wife.
Yeah, and I mean, he had to give up like 20 Vietnamese traps in the divorce and part of his kidney.
When you say Vietnamese traps, you might not be referring to actual traps, but maybe some individuals.
Yeah, exactly my point. For the chat, like, don't look it up.
But anywho, P. Diddy, he's on trial. He got no bail. For a man of his income, okay, you have to understand this. When you're worth like close to $1 billion, when you're worth a lot of money, the legal system knows they can extort you. For a man of his money to not get the ability to post bail means they got this guy by the balls.
Like, they've got two hands on them. Like a set of 90-year-old pendulous nuts down to the knees.
Like, because think about it. Okay, you could go ahead and allow him to post bail for $700 million. And then, boom, the judiciary system just pocketed $700 million. For a man of his stature not to get the option for bail, he is cooked, Chad. He is cooked.
Oh, he's grilled, cooked, deep fried, and slathered with oil.
And I'm not one to go, like I said, I'm not one to say I'm guilty before, you know, innocent until proven guilty. I do believe that.
I believe in guilty before innocent in public.
It's very likely P. Diddy is about to commit an Epstein event, if you were.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine the list that he has on there? My God.
He had so many parties with celebrities. I'm telling you, they are out to get him.
Oh, man. If I was 50 Cent and I had just like dropped in, been like, oh, nope, and then walked out, I'd be sitting right there like, okay, So, guys, we got to handle this situation. I dropped by, grabbed a handful of popcorn shrimp and dipped when I saw the Johnson & Johnson baby oil.
You got no association with Diddy except one time out of the blue he texted you and you didn't even respond. You're like, okay, I'm going to hire a private security team right away.
Could you imagine? Like, even worse, one of his parties, it's just completely normal. It's just like a soiree. There's like piano in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, gentlemen. It's so good to see you. Oh, yes, quite indubitably. Yes. One of those parties, you go to the actual okay events.
But, you know, in the words of Michael Jackson, another one bites the dust. That's what the members of the Freak Off were saying.
Oh, no, I thought that was... No, Diddy, no! Diddy Donal!
Dude, his name alone... Imagine naming yourself Puff. Okay, Puff.
Now that gives the money.
Like, just imagine. Who in the right mind would do that?
The Diddler would. He sounds like a rejected Batman villain.
Oh. But speaking of, what was it? Oh, degeneracy and selling your integrity to a man. Selling your integrity for some financial support.
Mm.
Getting off Diddy, I want to talk about that.
Oh.
The subject I want to bring up is selling your soul.
Oh, so sugar babies?
It dawned on me today that there's a misconception about selling your soul.
Okay, so are we talking like selling your soul or selling your integrity?
I think you could almost say they're one and the same. But yeah. Here's what I want to say. A lot of celebrities are cited as having sold their souls. They sold their soul to the devil, yada yada.
And that's where like their contract runs out, and then they find out they've been having, you know, big gay orgies all the time behind closed doors. Not to name anyone specific.
Yeah.
Not to name anyone specific.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Uh-huh, yeah, sure.
But I think it's a bit of a trope to say celebrities sold their soul. And here's why. I think your average person sells their soul in a way almost the same as celebrities do.
Yeah, they're not at a crossroad with a demon just sitting there like, okay, in 10 years, they're going to find out that you touched someone's butthole.
Sell
out.
So let's say you're young, you're youthful, maybe you're middle-aged, whatever. You realize you have the ability to generate a crowd, to curate attention. And once you start generating crowds, the powers that be go, hey, I'd like to control this person. Mm-hmm. I'd like to offer them all the worldly pleasures, and we'll sign them into an industry that promotes hedonism. And any big industry, the movie industry, the music industry, yada yada.
How dare you attack my people?
It's very hedonistic industries.
Mm.
And, you know, people will go, well, the artist sold their soul. Their music's all about sex or debauchery, or the movies are all about being provocative and promoting anti-family values. And that's normally true. And so maybe the big artist, in a way, capitulates the hedonism of the world and sells their soul. But here's how I think the average individual does something to a degree just the same. And it's this. Okay. When you're a child, you have a lot of dreams and aspirations. You have, unless you have a terrible childhood, and a lot of people did.
Majority, yeah.
I wouldn't say the majority, but a good bit of people have terrible childhoods.
Like, I think 0.000000001 don't.
So maybe their dreams are killed in their youth, but most kids are aspirational. They are free-spirited, they're fun-going, and... They have a playfulness about them. They believe the world isn't inherently self-serving or evil. But your average person will end up selling their childhood, selling their childlike innocence and belief to any run-of-the-mill company.
Yeah, for the chance to be famous.
Well, not even to be famous. I'm speaking of the workmen.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like playing the lottery with guaranteed results at the cost of your dignity.
And so let's say you have a dream of being a singer, and you're semi-skilled at singing. Maybe not Celine Dion or Whitney Houston, but you're a skilled singer. And, you know, early on in your adult life, you decide, okay, I have to make money, I have to pay the bills. And you take a job at a regular 9-to-5 company, Kroger, etc. Kroger, Arby's, they have the meats.
The mental ward.
You take a job. And slowly but surely, you sell your dream to a company. You sell your childlike ambitions to a company. And truly, I'm telling you, that's hardly worse, or it's almost on equal playing fields, in my opinion, to selling your soul. If you sell your dreams and you sell your youth for security, then in many ways, you have also sold your soul.
Yeah, and that's why I helped fund the MMA.
Mommy Milkers Association?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is a childhood dream of mine. And you can call me a young Hugh Hefner, because you know what? I believe in it.
You're going to get there. You're going to get there. I'm going to bring you there.
I mean, Goth IHOP is almost around the corner.
I'm going to bring the fur man to the land of Mommy Milkers.
Trap Waffle House. We will make it to the
It's one land. Thing to have self-desire, to have a dream for yourself, but it's another to help another man accomplish his dreams. And truly, I tell you, I will bring the firm into the land of Mommy Milkers.
And you know what? We won't even use a single drop of Johnson & Johnson to get there. Which is funny, because like I think that's how he actually sponsored it. It's going to be Johnson & Johnson sponsored. Oh, the oil company? Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
But no, like, people sell their dreams to companies left and right. It's the average person's experience. And in many ways, we lose ourselves. We lose our soul. I think people lose their soul to a slow and steady degradation of the spirit.
Well, I mean, that's with every job, though. It's either you make money or you do what you love.
Yeah, and for the chat, just to go ahead and clarify, yeah, the Fur Man is an official partner of the MMA, the Mommy Milkers Association.
Our symbol.
I actually got a separate partnership, the IBTC, the Itty Bitty Titty Committee.
Which is just...
We are rival forces, but we both promote each other's interests.
Hey, respect.
100%.
I mean, you have bad taste, but it does mean you can't be my friend.
And real talk, like in all seriousness, this podcast is planning to start doing some regular donations to the Breast Cancer Society.
Because in all seriousness, breast cancer isn't something to joke about.
That's true. Yeah, the IBTC officially sponsored me.
I mean, I could show you the digits on this, but like it's a couple of very sensitive documents, them being very small donations.
But yeah, speaking of selling souls, I think almost every person sells their soul.
Yeah.
Celebrities and common man alike, we are out here selling our souls.
Yeah, and see, what I would think that you would go ahead and say souls, I would say time.
Hey, how is it different?
Exactly my point. Look, okay, from an atheistic standpoint, and even a Christian or a Buddhist or a Shintoist or even a Satanist, mm-hmm. you only get so much time on this rock as
so
you.
Much time.
Yeah, and then after that, you don't know, tomorrow you could wake up, have an aneurysm, you're done.
Yeah, and so you're given this life, this rare breed of life in the cosmos. Like I said, human life is the rarest we know of.
It's finite.
And you might spend 40 years working for Johnson & Johnson just because you're making $30 an hour.
And then your stock crashed because your best-selling customer,
P. Diddy,
just fucking gets wrecked.
I mean, that man made up for 80% of Johnson & Johnson baby oil sales.
Could you imagine P. Diddy's crew going to every Walmart? Just like, what's the maximum level I can buy?
He had that deal with Ciroc. He should have had the deal with Johnson & Johnson. I mean, come on.
I need a 38-gallon tub of Johnson & Johnson. For what?
Sir, we understand. It makes sense. But we're going to have to ask... It's probably better for you to go to Costco and pitch this.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
The Costco P. Diddy special. Type in your discount code at checkout.
69, 69, 69.
P. Diddy.
Fucking shit, mate. Oh, God.
But yeah, man, so we're selling our souls. We're selling our dreams. And so what's the solution? So here's what I think it is.
Well, I got a counter answer already.
Okay, let's tell me the counter before I tell you the solution.
Detachment of the material plane and the either you lean into the pleasures of the world that is continuously finite, or you completely detach yourself from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because 95% of the people on this planet lack the discipline to separate what is necessary and what is pleasurable.
Right.
I mean, that's my answer.
So, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point because I want to argue that to the maximum extent.
Okay.
I think most people, we talk about false graves.
False graves.
False graves. People living in death, and I believe it's make-believe. Okay, I think detachment from physical pleasure and the maximum adherence to it, the maximum pursuit of physical pleasure, are both just one of the same coin. They're just the same thing. They're the same degradation.
Well, I mean, either you're all heads or all tails, because nobody can make that coin land in the middle.
And that's what we are going to make the coin land in the middle. That's what this is all about. The hardest thing for a man to do is stay in the middle. People love the extremes. It's comfortable. It's what they know. It's home. The extremes is
he's
what...
He's too deep. Got it.
Yeah, they're calling. They're calling. The extremes...
Didn't work. You told me it was loaded.
...is exactly where we're not meant to be. We're meant to be in the middle. And so when you talk about we sell our dreams to companies for no good reason. Okay, in the past, there was a reason. Before we had conquered nature, which in modern society, we've done pretty well.
With AC, like that is proof enough.
Yeah. We actually had to work and shit and build houses and all this to like keep ourselves secure.
Moderately comfortable, even.
But most people today, a lot of people today make money just by talking. And not us. I mean, we're very poor individuals.
Yeah, the Mommy Milkers Association didn't make that much money this year. We have a lot of fucking supporters. None of them have money.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah, I know, right? You figure the incels would flock to it, but like Twitch streamers being what they are.
But no, we are, we're stuck. We don't, we want to be on one end or the other, and we don't want to be in the middle. And so, in the modern world, with AI and a lot of new technologies advancing, the billionaires of the world are citing, oh, well, we're going to need a universal basic income because people are just going to be advanced out of a job. There's not going to be any jobs left.
I'll get fucked.
And truthfully, if we find a way to beat nature, there won't be a need for jobs. That is true. If we can beat nature in its entirety, if machines can build a house and machines can take phone calls and machines can market and make art, and it just AI takes all the jobs from us, we won't need it.
Okay, well, one second. Just to quote Jeff Goldblum, just because you can doesn't mean you should. You didn't think about whether you should.
100%. But let's say we do it. Let's say we beat all of nature. Let's say it's all beaten. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to lift a finger anymore for anything we want. How do we fix the social issue of being on the extremes? I think if we could just actually... This is going to sound so cliche. If we can derive our value from something other than being superior to our fellow men, then we can finally actually live with our souls intact. What steals our souls is the fact that we have to sacrifice the value of another man for a higher status. That's what does it, Furman. That's what does it. You have to kill to get on top. You have to kill.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% on that. I just had an aneurysm for a second because you're talking crazy. Like, I'm sorry, but the only reason that a step above is a step above is because you had to step on somebody to get above.
Yeah, but let me tell you this. As much as I'm a materialist, because I am pretty material. I am, even though I'm saying I'm the light bringer. I've got a lot of material goals, but I can say this with confidence.
He has two Lamborghinis, crowd.
I am planning to buy a Lambo within the next year to year and a half.
And then tell everybody that the best part about that is having knowledge.
No. But, okay, if I had a friend right now who had a Lambo, and he allowed me to regularly use it. You know, here and there, I could just borrow my friend's Lambo. The urge to actually own one would go down infinitely. Like, truly, the urge would go down substantially, and I wouldn't feel such a need. And what I'm saying is, to a degree, sharing is caring.
That sounds like some fucking commie talk. You better knock that shit off before we get demonetized. The itty titty bitty committee will not stand for this.
It's not. I'm the least commie person. I believe in competition. I do.
Oh, do you? Let's just share everything and smoke pot and be hippies.
But as somebody who's at least moderately blessed materially, I'm a sharer, and you can vouch.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Like, you did give me that $150,000
loan. $150,000
loan,
you didn't even have to ask more than once.
Well, I mean, I had to do that one thing for that one guy and hide a body, but, you know, it's...
But no, I've never understood owning something and not caring to share it. Because truly, when you have physical possessions, you can only use so much of them at so often. Like, if you have 5 beach houses... You can only stay in one of those bitches at a time.
Not if you plan accordingly. An hour in each beach house, even if they are 6 hours apart, if we do the math, and by the curvature of the sun and the lunar rising and Venus being in retrograde, yeah, you can spend 30 seconds in each house.
I'm going to do something for people in the chat. We do a lot of satirical things, but I'm going to... This is absolute 100% serious.
On his end.
On my end. Anyone who comments on this video in particular, I am getting the Lamborghini within the next year to 2 years. That's a late, but it's very likely within the next year. Anyone who comments, I will allow to have a ride with me in the Lambo.
I'm commenting right now.
I already told you, you're the first one to get a ride.
Yeah, boy.
And that speaks to skills.
Yeah, because, like, honestly, I'm going to just blow all my money on hookers.
This is the Jack Sparrow of the modern era right here. This man's a Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, why is the realm always gone?
He got on this podcast. He showed up to my house with a jar of sand.
A jar of dirt, good sir. A jar of dirt.
And the deal was made. It was simple as that.
Yeah, which, by the way, I'm going to need that back. Like, Davy Jones has been knocking my ass over this.
Thought you killed his ass.
No, we're in a landlocked state. He needs a lot of buckets to reach me.
Fair enough. I gotta
keep moving, kicking over buckets and shit, being a dickhead.
But no, tell me that, like, honestly, if you were friends with a bunch of rich guys,
yeah,
and they had hotels and Lambos and boats and golf courses, and you could just freely talk and associate with them and hang out, would you feel as compelled to make a lot of money?
That depends, because, like, I've got a certain amount of dignity to myself, even as somebody that allow Bill Gates to drag his nuts across my face for $100 billion.
Okay. You would let Bill Gates drag his nuts across your face, and now
for $100 billion, let's not forget the amount.
And now you are feigning dignity.
I have,
just by being friends with rich dudes.
Yeah, because I earned it.
And see, that is the problem I'm trying to fight. Everyone thinks they have to earn something. Why can't things just be given for free?
Because earning means purpose. You have actually put time, energy, and spirit behind such actions to make such money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it is just freely given to you, then that is nothing. There is no sacrifice to your money. That means that you are basically a teat sucker on the fucking social security chain.
I'm going to drop an insane amount of knowledge right now.
You said it wrong. Knowledge.
Knowledge. When people say, oh, he's ahead of his time, this was ahead of its time, I'm about to tell you something 100 to 200 years ahead of its time.
Mm.
When you talk about purpose.
Holy, we got another.
The future of purpose is going to be as simple as this. Here's the future purpose for humans. You ready?
Mm.
I like this. I don't like that. That's it.
That's now.
That's
not ahead of its time.
No, that's what we are going to be left as. I like this. I don't like this. That is the purpose of us in the future. Distinguishment. Opinion. Refinement. That's going to be our purpose.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to squint at chat right now, and I'm blind.
Give it up, man. Give it up.
Ah, oh, fine then.
That's going to be our purpose. I mean, like this. I don't like that. That's what we have.
Well, if that's what you're going to boil down the whole human experience to, then that's a sad existence. In the meantime, though, go ahead and lay it on down. Why would it come boiling down to those two pillars?
It's going to come boiling down to those two because...
Tell the chat for a second. I got to go ahead and grab me some Gatorade.
Here's why. Yeah. It's going to come down to those two simply because there will come a point after the cyclical destruction and then remaking of society that humans are known for, where we truly do hit a point of autonomy over nature, where jobs truly are mostly irrelevant, and there's very little work to be done aside from coding something to do the job for you. Being that we derive so much purpose from our physical, you know, contributions to society, we're going to need something else to keep us purposeful. And the humans that survive, the humans that thrive in the future, are going to be ones who are solely comfortable just dictating what they like and they don't like. The reason that is because there's very few people who are actually so self-assured that their opinion carries on its own. Most people don't feel comfortable having an opinion unless they have some life standing to give them the strength to have it.
Okay, I call poppycock on that. Andrew Tate just got arrested like not too long ago. He hadn't got a leg to stand on, and yet he's launching a new crypto.
He's got what I'm talking about.
That self-assuredness?
The self-assuredness.
The self-assuredness, chat.
Those who are self-assured enough to just say, nope, I don't like this. Yep, I do like this. With nothing to really stand for it, are going to be the superior race in the future.
The outliers.
The kings and queens.
And the theys and thems, as it were. The Z-Zers of the world.
King Z-Zer.
Why does that sound like a bad guy out of the March of Sparta?
I don't know. Yeah, it's Rick Rubin. I talk about him, you know, every now and then. He's a music producer.
Oh, see, that's weird because I thought he was a 48 Rules of Power guy.
That's Robert Greene.
Ah, same.
But Rick Rubin is of that mind. The opinion is what defines the human.
Hmm.
It's your perception. It's what you deem good and what you deem bad.
See, that'd be a problem because, like, most of opinions are kind of recycled. Like, not a lot is original.
Fair.
Like, you can see it in the media, you can see it in religion, you can see it in politics. It's almost a cycle. When the pendulum swings this way, inevitably it will swing back that way.
And I think we can go out with on this being our final topic.
Oh, shit.
It's true. There's hardly anything that's original anymore. And, you know, with nothing being original, you have to ask, well, how am I going to provide value to the world?
How am I going to add to it?
And, you know, you can go online, the most memetic platform in human history, and hope that you're going to find something original. Given that we've had thousands and thousands of years of documented history and writing and teachings from people far more wise than we are.
Not shackled by physical possession, like Lao Tzu or...
Our TikTok thoughts, what have you.
I mean, to be fair, like they make a very compelling argument. Give me your money so I can shake my mommy milkers. A very compelling argument if there ever was one.
And so it's interesting because I do think we've predominantly ran out of original thought. And given that we've lost original thought, it's going to become what gets the most clout, what gets the most views and the most notoriety. What rises to the top?
Ooh, teacher.
Yeah.
Teacher, question. Does that make drug users like more intellectual than the average man?
Well, I think drug users are more often than not more intellectual than the average man.
Yeah, because they're dreaming in five-dimensional space.
Well, I think a lot of drug users have overactive minds, and they seek out drugs to help them escape from their own internal monologue.
You heard him say that, chat. I have an overactive mind. That's what it is.
Well, people with very weak internal monologues don't need to numb themselves or escape it. They're just comfortable. And comfortable people are nice, but a lot of drug users are very, very methodical people. Like, their mind plays tricks on them. And they're like, I want to just experience something else.
Just the real world for what it is.
Yeah.
Because, like, technically speaking, your eyeballs are wired upside down. And also, for the chat, birds are not real. Don't trust the government. They're not real. The earth is flat and hollow, and it has reptilians in it.
So with nothing being original anymore, we're probably on the cusp of the actual highest virtues or the highest values at some point reigning supreme. Reason I say that, I'll just make a quick analogy. A fully gay society won't be a society in 100 years because everyone will be dead and there'll be no kids. So even if we still have a ton of hedonistic and self-serving thoughts, those thoughts will eventually kill us and we'll end up with only the virtuous ones because those are the only ones conducive to life.
That sounds a little bit biblical.
Yeah, I mean, somewhat, but it's true. I mean, if your thoughts are more death than they are life, then...
See, that's what's funny, because, like, that does sound like some Deuteronomy end times kind of shit. Because, like, if everybody's doing butt stuff, then there's no kids. And if you're indulging yourself in murder for the sake of murder and the spreading of pestilence for the sake of spreading pestilence, COVID... then you're not wrong.
Well, think about it like this. Throughout human society, or human history, in the beginning when we first gained the ability to think.
Yeah.
Let's say we were given a deck of cards.
Yeah.
And these cards were our thoughts.
Okay.
Throughout history, we've been dealing these cards out.
Yeah, right.
One by one, we're dealing out the cards and learning them.
For sure.
Let's say we've gone ahead and we've played the entire deck. Now the entire deck is on the table.
Okay.
Okay, so there's no more cards to give out. There's nothing else to learn.
Yes.
What's left is figuring out what's good and what isn't.
Double note.
What cards should go to the top and which ones should go to the bottom? We hit a point where, rather than learning things, we finally come around to distinguishing things.
Indubitably.
And so, yeah, I think if that's the case, we're going to round the corner.
Which means apocalypse and then righteous.
Yeah.
I mean, and if that be how it ends, then just know that you are invited to the P. Diddy party. Okay? The end of the world P. Diddy party. I will go ahead and shell out of my $3.50 that's left in my bank account for all the Johnson & Johnson oil.
They're having a flash closeout sale.
Their stock just tanked after he got locked up. But no, I feel like you've made a few good solid points.
I think it's where we're at.
But you know what we didn't do this episode?
Yeah. Hedonist of the week.
Hedonist.
I meant to close out on that.
Well, let's go ahead. Who is the Lightbringer of the week?
Yeah, so I've got one. Lightbringer of the week. It's going to sound like an odd one.
Ah.
I'm wholly against, manufactured foods, artificial ingredients, artificial coloring, all these things.
He's been eating nothing but beef hearts for the last 2 years that he has only cultivated himself.
The junk food industry is one of the most heinous on earth. It's up there with the medical industry, the insurance industry. They're evil people. But even given that, I have to go, there's a time where such a product is produced that's so whimsical, so tasty, so flamboyant, that it supersedes its parts. It supersedes its unhealthy nature.
The Impossible Burger.
And I'm going to give the Lightbringer of the week to the man who came up with the Nerds Gummy Clusters.
Get fucked. No way. That's cheating. Everybody loves Nerd Clusters.
Exactly. The Nerd Cluster is such a product that despite the fact it's made wholly of terrible ingredients, I think it's so good for the soul. Nerds clusters are so good for the soul.
And terrible for the body.
That they have a net positive even on the body.
Oh, fuck. Right.
You can't deny how good... When you're in good spirits, it helps your body. That's a known phenomenon.
Well, it's made me bust a nut before, but that doesn't count.
The nerd clusters is like family. It's like, and not a dysfunctional one.
Yeah, it's actually a healthy environment where one can discuss issues in a healthy forum.
It's a good childhood, a loving mom and dad, good school.
You know,
that's what nerd clusters is.
You know, it says that it won't pay for your college fund, but you know what? The first semester, it's on us.
So despite the fact it's got artificial colors, artificial ingredients, yada, yada, I'm going to say the Lightbringer of the Week is the man who made the Nerds gummy clusters.
Lightbringer of the Week. Now, for the Hedonist of the Week, we've already talked about him a little bit this week. As a matter of fact, we've been heavily dunking on him this episode. We're going to go ahead and spread the love to P. Diddy.
100%.
Before he gets Epstein'd. Because knowing him, he has got a list of all the celebrities and everybody that's ever attained his party. And also, the fact that they've all signed NDAs to get into said party, which, by the way, could you imagine being a wait staff? Like passing out cocktails and cocktails?
This is a man who managed to pull off 20 years of masturbating in a corner to male orgies. If that's not Hedonist of the Week,
that's Hedonist of the Year. That, you know what? We're going to put him up for the VIP status of Hedonist of the Year. Piece of shit, don't get me wrong, but Hedonist of the Year. He has achieved lofts of hedonism that no one should ever achieve.
That's true. He's a level 99 hedonist.
Yeah, look, I'm only like a level 3. Like, I've done some weird shit, but like that guy, he takes weird to a whole new level.
That's true.
And, frankly, one I'm not very much comfortable with. I might have to rethink a lot of life goals, in my opinion.
But no question, P. Diddy is the Hedonist of the Week, arguably of the year, maybe even a contender for the century. Maybe.
He could be an MVP. He could be a three-time running.
The NFL's got their, what do they call it?
The League of Fame.
Yeah, me and you aren't sports guys. But, like, the Hall of Fame.
How dare you? I know sports ball very well.
The Hall of Fame.
They shoot them goal hockeys into them shooting jumps, you know.
P. Diddy, I think he's at least a contender to go on the Hall of Fame of hedonism at this point.
Minimal. He's top 10 contender.
And he's got something going for him. This will be my ending point, that a lot of the hedonists don't. And it's this. P. Diddy set his pleasures up in such a way that even in prison, you could argue, is it even a punishment? This man was so far ahead of the game.
He was already set up for the end game. This guy is Thanos sitting there going, you should have taken the arm.
Imagine when P. Diddy gets sentenced, he just looks at the judge and goes, you know what happens in prison, and then licks his lips.
Is it even getting turned out? If you enjoy getting turned out, we're going to run a train on you, Diddy. Oh, no. And now I'm bent over grabbing this liquid over here.
This man set himself up to be unpunishable. He's truly playing chess
on a 3D scale here.
Man, that's a master level play right there.
That's not even third dimensional chess. That's like fifth dimensional chess right there.
The judge sends him to an all-female prison.
No!
Comes to find out he was straight all along. He's playing the field. He's
Look, if I get sent to one or the other. Dude, his theme music walking in, it's going to be grind on me. But for the outgoing message to everybody, just remember, from the Fur Man, stay positive, test negative. AK, what you got?
And as we do, you can tell we take ourselves lightly, and we make light of everything. And with that, you know, as we do always, stay in the light. It's been nice, guys.